Where legends are born, myths are made, and adventure is as common as commoners. This is your DM, Sam, coming back, doing our back feed for the Christmas one-shot that I did last week. So, to start off, I guess as a synopsis, it was in the town of Zalor, and our heroes fought the Grinch. So what did you think, Andy?
I thought you did a great job, Sam. I really did.
Thanks.
I still can't believe that it took me that long to realize it was the Grinch. I'm going to chalk that one up to sleep deprivation and baby brain. But I swear normally I'm not that stupid.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, afterwards I asked Amber and I said, when did you know it was the Grinch? And she goes, when you said they want to spend a little quality time with a Grinch. And then the door dropped out. I said, so the same time as Andy, she goes, oh, yeah. She goes, actually, I think Andy saying it is what made me realize. So Amber was right there with you.
Well, that makes me feel better. I don't know. I guess, like, I
was
originally
careful.
Like, I think the part that threw me for a loop was at the beginning in the town with, like, the big tree. And Rob made a joke about it. And I was like, okay, no, there's no way Sam's doing it. There's no way Sam's doing the Grinch right now. And I think that's just what happened. I think it was just me being an idiot and, like, putting it out of my mind so I wasn't looking for the clues. But looking back, it was a dead giveaway. Like, this hooded figure steals the mare. Or, well, you know what I mean. And then,
I was going to have it be, like, a hooded figure in a brown burlap robe with a painted face mask, and I'd be like, that's too obvious. But what would have been funny is, in my notes, I actually have that if you guys would have investigated the scene of the crime where the tree was, you would have found a bone saw. And that he used to cut down the tree. And if you remember from the Grinch, he takes apart one of the cars, like you hear like a crash in the background, I think, or something like that. And he goes, oh my, someone has vandalized that vehicle. And he goes, and he whips a saw out from around his back and gives it to a kid. And he goes, all right, now be sure to run real fast with the kids. Come on, double time. Chop, chop. And he claps his hands.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I had that picture and I was like, oh, I'm going to put that in there just as like a little Easter egg, like where you guys might not realize what it was now, but later on it would be funny.
Oh my God. That would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
I
tried to make it be like not out in your face, out in the open. This is the Grinch. And I was like, I'm going to let them figure it out naturally.
Well, I thought you did a good job with the dungeon, too. Like, it was supposed to be like Mount Grumpit. I totally get that now. And like the inside, it was really good. It was really well done. It was just, I don't know. We passed the thing that said mean one. And I'm like, what is that? Like, I still think about it. I still just think I'm like, God, I'm stupid. But
in green painting.
Yeah, right.
Well, like, I know I was trying to like make it be very in your face if you were looking for it, but at the same time somewhat subtle so that way it wasn't
in your face.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like the whole thing about like the flaming head coming out of the door shooting flames. Like, if you just watched the Grinch movie, it probably would be fresh in your mind, like, oh my God, this is the Grinch. But if not, you probably have a different picture, like, in the theater of the mind type deal of, like...
I honestly thought it was a flaming skull. Like, I legit thought, like, a flaming... a skull on fire came flying out of that door. Like, I did not think it was, like, a fire-breathing machine.
Yeah.
Contraption. Yeah. I do have one question. Did you use a fey crossing?
Yes. I forgot. Okay. I wanted to go over stuff with you guys afterwards, but it was so late that we didn't get to it. And I was like, it's fine. We'll talk about it in the back feed. So I made the fog from the ice mephits be the fey crossing. So you guys were walking through the forest, and then all of a sudden... the fog came in, and then you guys walked through a fey crossing, popped into the fey wild, and then the ice mephits were there with the cold light walker. And that's why I was like, you guys look up, and the forest is gone. The Forest is nowhere to be seen right now.
And I just before we go any further, that just made me realize you came up with a lot of stuff in the beginning of that I now have to make canon about, like, the winter solstice. So if you don't mind just sending that to me so I can make note of it, because I was not expecting that, but at the same time, like, makes total sense. But anyway, yeah, so I was at first, like, I was so, like, thrown for a loop. I was like, did Sam just teleport us somewhere, like, on the plane, like, on the same plane? I'm like, that's weird. We were just in a forest. And then it clicked afterwards when
Saglin came down to talk to you guys.
Yeah, Saglin came down. I was like, wait a minute. We just went through a fey crossing. And in my head, I'm like, I didn't even know Sam knew about those. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yep. I know. It's. I was like, well, so when we were talking about, like, where this was going to be. So for anyone listening that doesn't, like, a little peek behind, like, the planning stages, I called Andy and was like, I want to do a one shot for Christmas. I don't want to tell you anything about it, really, except I want it to be somewhere that's cold and snowy and that I can do some shit in. And I was just going to have it be in the woods. Like, remember I was telling you, like, a mountainous region or, like, with the big hills or something. And then we were talking about maybe doing it in the Empire and having it be beyond the wall. And I was like, oh, the Grinch would be perfect for beyond the wall. In the where is it? Whatever that area is.
It's the Boreal Valley.
The north of the
big north wall. North of, where the fuck is Peter from? Snow's Reach.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, man, that would be so cool. He'd be perfect. Like, it's this place that's, like, unexplored. Maybe he'll just have it be there. And then you said something to me. Oh, the Eladrin. We were talking about the types of elves. And I said, well, you know, what do elves even live in the snowy areas? Because I wanted it to be a higher elf population just because of the Whos. And I was like, obviously, I'm not going to make the Whos be a real thing, but I'll just make it be like an elf population. And then you said, well, the Eladrin, and you said, they're usually more in the Feywild, but they probably would be in that area too. And then I was like, holy shit, I'm going to make it be in the Feywild. I'm like, what a good idea. And like, I'm like, I already had in my head that Saglin was going to be an Archfey after talking to you. So I'm like, this is perfect. He is going to pass by the group on the way back. I'm like, what a perfect ride. So
it's,
I was like,
great when things like that come together. I have a habit of that coming, that happening.
Yeah, because remember at the end of our conversation, I was like, nope, never mind. I got it. I figured it out. I'm all good. And then we hung up. Like, that's when it hit me. I was like, never mind. I don't care where it is. I don't need it to be anywhere.
And I remember that, and I'm like, did Sam just tell me that because he wanted to get off the phone with me, or did he actually have an idea? So I think I texted you afterwards. I'm like, are you good? Like, what do you need? And I came up with that city for you.
Yeah.
We were there for almost, which was like, funny. 5 minutes.
So as I was, so that whole day I spent, I asked Amber if she wanted me to make her a new character, because she had that Jade, the Jade character, the one that's a Huskimo?
Yeah.
Like a bipedal husky. Yeah. That's a fighter. And then after Rob said he was going to be a fighter, and then Kyle, when he thought he was going to play, he said he was going to be
the hell a barbarian. He said, no, first he said rogue or rogue or druid or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then he came out of left field with, I'm just going to be a barbarian.
Well, so and he told me he was going to be a gnome barbarian. That's name was Peppermint or something like that.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, my God, that's hilarious. But and then Geo's character, I knew, was a rogue barbarian multi-class. And then Peter was talking to me saying that he might be either an artificer or maybe a fighter. And I was like, and I knew you were a ranger, but I wasn't sure if you were melee or ranged. And I was like, ugh, that's a lot of melee characters.
Yeah. Like, I know. That's why I went with ranged.
Yeah. So that's why I was calling Amber. I said, do you want to make a new character? I said, I'm not pushing you. I didn't even tell her. I didn't even explain it to her. I just said, I can make you a new one if you want. She's like, yeah, sure. You know what? That's fine. We'll give it a shot and try it out. I won't mind doing something else. Like, she said, I think, like, I kind of want to do magic stuff. And I go, okay. So we sat down and we were going back and forth. I gave her like a rundown of like what a druid is, what a warlock is, what a sorcerer is, what a cleric is, you know, the whole nine yards. So her top choices were warlock, druid, or cleric. Mm-hmm. And then I Googled images for her so she could kind of get a mental picture. Because I'm like, a cleric is usually heavily armored, that's big in spells, has a high AC, you know, healing and holy magic, you know. And then I was like, a warlock is somebody who makes a pact with a, and she goes, a demon. And I go, well, yeah, but not always. I'm like,
sometimes it's an ancient, powerful insect creature that just wants women.
Yeah. But I was like telling her, I'm like, you could make a deal with an archfey, or you could make a deal. And I was like, oh, please don't do that. That'll be so confusing for what I have going on. And I'm like, or you can make a deal with like a big, scary space monster that's older than life and time itself. Or you can make a pact with like a genie, or, you know, I'm like trying to like list stuff. And she's like, nah, that's not for me. I don't think I want that. And then so I showed her Druid, and she goes, ooh, I want that. And I'm like, okay. So we started looking at all the Druid subclasses, and that obviously was opening up a huge can of worms.
Yeah.
But as soon as one of the last ones that we had left was the Wildfire Spirit. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I really like that. Let's do that. So we went through that realm. And then, you know, we had to do stats and the background and the spells list and, you know, the whole nine yards. And it just took it. I was literally helping her with it almost the entire day. And I told her I could bang a level 4 character out in like an hour. It'll be fine. I didn't realize that was me doing it with my decisions already made in my head instead of having to like take the time to explain it to her.
Yeah. It's a lot easier to make a character when you know what you're doing.
Yeah. But afterwards, I asked her, I'm like, did you like her? And she goes, oh, that was so much fun. She goes, I think she's my new favorite character. I go, really? Even better than Freya? And
Freya Land.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, I think so. She goes, I was a lot of fun. So I'm okay. All right, well, good. I'm glad it worked out, because now you have this character forever then.
And for those of you listening, Freya from Freya Land, back before Sam and Amber had their children, Amber used to play with us. And that was her very first character. She was a paladin named Freya.
You DM'd us for us.
Yeah.
And we went around introducing everyone. And she goes, hi, I'm Freya. And then somebody, I don't know if it was you or one of the other players, but they go, well, what's your last name? She goes, Freya. And they go, well, what's your first name? She goes, Freya. And they said, so you're Freya? And she goes, yep, guess so. And they go, where are you from? And she goes, Freya Land? We're like, so you're Freya from Freya Land, huh? Okay. So that kind of just stuck, and that became a canon thing in that world. It was hilarious.
I should put Freya Land in this world again.
We typed up, I have like a 2-page background typed up on her, how she got the name, how the world, the town got their name or whatever.
I could probably find my old notes on Freya Land somewhere.
Yeah.
I had like a whole thing typed up. I had the whole city planned out. It was like this cool, like Norse themed city, like Asgard. And it was really cool. Like it was a lot more like advanced. And then like we never went there because that game imploded because somebody, Rob, decided to put a bag of holding in a bag of holding and blow up everything.
Quite literally, the game imploded.
Yeah. Not that I'm salty or anything, Rob. That's why I've killed most of your characters. Anyway, I'm kidding. I have killed a lot of his characters, but that's not why. Mainly because he makes poor decisions sometimes.
I don't kill his characters. His characters' choices kill his characters.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was funny. We were going through the races to make Amber's character, and in my app that I use, there was a Harrigan. And I stopped and was like, oh, yeah, see this? This is like a rabbit folk. Like, this is... Like a living, breathing, talking rabbit. And she goes, oh, how cute. And I'm like, all right, good. I'm glad I showed her. So that way later on, when I bring that out, she knows what it is.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. That town, I was like, what the fuck am I going to do with this place? And I was sitting here for like a half hour, like thinking, like, what's the terrain like? Like, what is going on in Zalor? And I was like, huh. The snowdrift rifts are right there, and this is like right near the forest. So the snow probably piles because of snowdrifts, And that's kind of what sparked everything. I was like, what would live? What would live here? Definitely rabbits, like snow rabbits. I was like, yeah, sure, Harrigan. Why not?
It's funny. And I love how it's just elves and rabbits living together in the woods.
Yep. I mean, that's like the main population. Like, you're probably going to find like some humans there. Like, I left some room for some wiggle room. But,
It worked out good that you said that the mayor was, never took anything serious. Cause I'm like, oh, good. I want him to kind of be a buffoon that's like blowing everybody off. So,
like the Grinch's mayor?
Yes. And then, like, so I kind of was thinking about how in the movie The Grinch, when the mayor is talking about the, like the Grinch comes down and like scares everyone, and he's just like, the mayor's like, it's all right, everybody. Let's, what the hell? How does it go? After the Grinch blows up and the mayor goes, can we just get back to the way things are supposed to be? Grinchless. And he puts the wreath on his head, and then everybody just like starts singing and dancing and like picking right back up like nothing happened. So that was, that whole scene in my head was playing out when he goes, let's not let a few missing people spoil this good time. Ready on the count of three, and then the fireworks start shooting off, music and singing go off, and I'm like, well, that'll be perfect. Like, he's kind of like brainwashed the entire town just to blow shit off because he's been doing it his whole entire life.
It worked out well. I do have another question I just thought of. Mm-hmm. What the fuck was the Grinch looking for? Like, he was chopping people up.
So that was something that I wanted to talk about afterwards.
But we didn't have time.
Yeah. And Saglin was going to talk to you guys about it. But obviously, I like skipped over like a couple paragraphs because I knew it was so late and everyone wanted to go home. So the Grinch was looking at trying to figure out what the hell made these people so jolly. He was trying to figure out why these people had such a, were so full of spirit, Christmas spirit, and happiness and joy and glee.
Boxes and bags.
Yeah. So he was like, that's what, let me see if I can find it in my notes. Let's see here. Oh, he goes, you see all the notes written in the observation room. I still can't figure this out. What am I missing? Is it dependent on race, age, gender? So he's like dissecting these people, trying to figure out what it is that makes them so holly jolly, lovey-dovey of Christmas, or the winter solstice in this world, I guess. Mm-hmm. So he's just like taking the people that have the most Christmas spirit and just trying to figure it out, because he is just like, it's just like a puzzle to him that he doesn't understand how people are like that or why they're like that. So he was just dissecting people.
Why did he take the rabbit?
So he took the rabbit because he was basically at the point where he wasn't getting anywhere with anything and wanted to take the rabbit because this rabbit's family was in charge of the entire town for eons, and is just like beside himself, and he's just like, well, maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree. Maybe it's not something that they have. Maybe it's something that they're missing. Which, in all honesty, it's none of the above. It's just that people are people and they like the stuff that they, right. You know, they're just, it's just,
some people love Christmas music on the first day of November. Other people fucking hate it.
Right.
Like,
so
me.
It's entirely a wild goose chase that he was on, but that's what he was in search of, is trying to find answers. Gotcha. So that's why he was like, you know, dependent on race. He had a bunch of different races in there, ages. There was a bunch of different ages. He took the mother, or he took the woman, and then he took the little boy. Mm-hmm. So he took different genders and whatnot. And then, like, the bodies were still fresh from 25 years ago because it's like a time warp.
Yeah, it's
so,
a simulation.
Like, 5 minutes there is the equivalent of 2 weeks in the real, in the material plane, which is why you guys skip forward 2 weeks. When you saw Saglin, he's like, come on, we gotta go. We're gonna miss the winter solstice. And even though in the beginning, I don't know if anyone paid attention to it, you guys arrived in town 2 weeks before the solstice.
Yeah, I heard that.
And then you left and it was the solstice night. So
just for shits and giggles, I know I had mentioned at the end of that there was a like homebrew, or not homebrew, but there was rules about the Feywild in my world, for like leaving. So let's see. What is in my notes? They cross us. A creature that leaves the Feywild must make a DC 10 wisdom saving throw, as do any creature that fails the saving throw. So basically, if you leave, you have to make a saving throw, and if you fail, then you just forget everything.
That sucks.
Yeah, and there's also a time warp as well. But it looks like it's a roll table. So, like, while time seems to pass normally in the Feywild, characters might spend a day there.
It's never a strict translation?
No, because the Feywild... The thing with the Fae is that they're very chaotic creatures. So a lot of it is left to chance. So, like, it looks like after they leave, it looks like you'd have to roll. So, like, on a roll of a d20, a 1 to 2, days become minutes. 3 to 6, days become hours. 7 to 13, there's no change. 14 to 17, days become weeks. 18 to 19, days become months. And 20 is days become years.
Dang. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's insane.
Yeah, so I wanted to, my whole thought behind the Grinch was, like, in his lair in the movie, he's got a bunch of, like, inventions and weird contraptions. So that's why I was, like, his whole lair in my game was kind of like a weird, like, dungeony tinkerer's tower.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of was like, if he was a class, it'd almost be like an artificer,
right?
And then that's like all of his old projects and stuff. But and then I think I told you guys in the that episode of the podcast about how the collapsible pole that was in his factory rejects room was a 39 and a half foot pole if you stretched it all out and measured it.
Yeah, you did mention that.
Yeah. Oh, and then his freaking sandwich that Geo ate totally zapped Geo's power right out from underneath him unintentionally.
Oh my God, I know.
And that was hilarious. And I was like, I asked Amber, I go, do you think I gave Geo enough heads up? Like, you probably shouldn't eat this. And she's like, yeah, I think so. She goes, I knew that you meant don't eat this, and he continued to eat it. So she goes, that was a bad decision.
I totally, like, caught on, like, yeah, you probably shouldn't eat this. Yeah. Like, I knew that from the way you described it. But, I mean, hey, kudos to him for
sticking with his character, I know.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, dang, I feel so bad. I'm like, and it says in the Grinch's character sheet that only the Grinch can eat it. Let's see. So he has one of his abilities is a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce.
Oh, ew. That's gross.
And it says, during a short rest, the Grinch can use rotten foods to create a sandwich that only his strong stomach can digest.
That's gross. That is fucking gross.
Yeah. And as a result of eating this, he gets the following effects. Bad breath. Which is where you breathe in the face of a creature, which I was trying to do to Rob. They make a DC 15 constitution save or take necrotic damage.
Mm.
They get sated, which is eating the sandwich gives the Grinch some health. He regains 2d10 plus 6 health immediately and 1d4 every round.
Oh, wow.
And then the other one is with arsenic sauce. Although it does not affect him, the sauce on this horrendous hoagie is still mixed in his mouth and is harmful to other creatures. As an action, the Grinch can spit on another creature within 10 feet. and they take 3d8 poison damage,
which is what he was trying to do to Rob.
Yep. And then he has multi-attack, a whip, tripping attack, disarming attack, and then Cuddly is a cactus, which is, well, anyone's trying to grapple him, they have disadvantage. And I was like, perfect. Rob is a grappler. I'm like, how great is this? Freaking gets it the second time. And then pins me down.
Well, you know what boggles my mind is whoever made that monster stat block, did they miss the scene where that motherfucker lifted that entire fucking sleigh? Like,
oh, I know.
This dude is strong.
Yeah, the Grinch's strength is a +0, but his dex is a +4.
Really?
Yeah. So
I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't know, because in his charisma is a +4 too.
That I could believe, because charisma is not just like
intimidation. I know, right? Yeah. So I almost wonder, because a lot of the stat blocks I was looking up online said that if you were going to try and make the Grinch as a PC, that he'd be more of a rogue. Because he's sneaky, stealthily a thief. Like, he steals Christmas. He's in the name, steals Christmas makes him a thief. So I was like, okay, well, maybe that's why he's got the high dex. Because he sneaks around Whoville and steals all the presents from the houses.
I mean,
but I guess, know.
But I really feel like that's more charisma. Because if we think about the show with Jim Carrey, like, his disguise is not good, but he's silver-tongued. Yes. You know what I mean? And, like, as far as, like, sneaking around, well, guess what? The Whos believe in Santa. And they're if they hear him, they're probably thinking, oh, that's Santa. You know, they're not going to go investigate.
Yeah. Oh, don't go downstairs. Santa's going to take the presents away.
Exactly. I mean, look at Cindy Lou Who. He woke up Cindy Lou Who. It's not like he's a fucking ninja. This motherfucker very clearly makes noise, and he's not.
No, she came down for a glass of water.
But she still heard him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so she didn't get woken up by him, but she saw him, and it's not like he was being sneaky about it. I think he was just silver-tongued.
Yeah,
I don't know. That
makes sense. I agree.
I disagree with that stat block.
Yeah, but the thing with that stat block is that I looked at it, and I'm like, I love all of these abilities so much. Like, the brain full of spiders, yeah. When he gets bloodied, a swarm of spiders crawls out of his head. No, I wouldn't touch you with a 39.5-foot pole. That's, you know, that one. Termites in a smile. Greasy black peel. I'm like, oh, this is like literally all the stuff in the song is in here.
Like, yeah, it sounds like those abilities sound great. I just disagree with the stats.
Yeah. No, like, I know.
That was kind of silly.
Switched dex and strength. And it didn't help that my dice were like completely against me the entire game. I have no idea what the hell was. I literally, before we started today, I sat down here and pulled a new set of dice out and put them in my spot on the table. So that way, next time we play, I know that I have to swap my dice. Like, those things are going in, like, not even dice jail. They're like dice purgatory for a while. They need a timeout.
Nice.
I was so angry. I'm like, ugh. And I have 3 sets of dice in my freaking dice tray. All of them betrayed me.
See, this is where being a dice goblin comes in handy, but also, that's like just future tip. I don't know how you feel about it, but you can fudge rolls. Like, if you really,
yeah, I know. Like, but so the problem was too, is like, I could have done more to fight back with you guys. And the Hellhound stats, I weakened them a little bit. Like, I actually recharged. Though. I recharged my fire breath, on like the second or third round, and I was gonna use it, but I'm like, man, if I use it, I'm gonna take, Geo's character down, and then if Geo's character goes down, then the Hound is gonna take somebody else out of the fight with the Grinch, like, or if the Hellhound attacks Amber's character, then she loses concentration on Moonbeam. Now we're gonna be here for like another hour, and I was like, I don't want to do that because I knew everybody wanted to leave. So I'm like, okay, I got the big reveal out of the way. We got to the fight. Everybody's pretty hurt. Like, I think everybody was like took some damage for the most part.
Yeah.
And was pretty like hurting and a little bit of nervousness. So I was like, all right, I'll just give it to him. I'll just let him go because, you know, if we had another session, I would have definitely beefed it up. But I was like, I'm like, ah, whatever, screw it. We'll just let him kill him off.
And I, now you know what the struggle is of a DM. Where does that fine line draw?
Yeah, because it's like, as a player, I feel like it's really easy to get a grasp of how hard everybody's hurting at the table on your team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, you keep it like a mental tally of like, oh, I don't know what Rob is at, but I know he took a ton of damage. And as a DM, I have a hard time keeping track of my own health, of my three players that are on the field. And let alone like all the other numbers and commentary you need to say and the other cues of when stuff has to happen, that I wasn't even focusing on who took damage and who didn't. The only reason why I knew you took a bunch was you said that you took a bunch.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so Andy's hurting a lot, so don't hit Andy if you don't want him down. Like, you know, because I was like, I could have hit you and knocked you down. But then same thing as like what I just was saying, I knew that everyone wanted to be done. So I just kept focusing on Gio. One, because he was the closest to the Hellhound, yeah. But two, he also could do the most damage to the Hellhound, and he could also take the most and trade hits with it. So
honestly,
I'm like,
the hardest one to read at the table is Rob.
Yes, I know, because he doesn't ever tell you.
No, and he won't. And that's fine. I think it's funny, but at the same token, like, I've kind of learned when to start pulling punches a little bit, and like it's like a dance game. Like, I shouldn't say pulling punches, but like when to go after somebody else. Like, I've learned, like, okay, Rob has taken like a good chunk of damage. I'm gonna like strategically try and think of like what I can do so I can still present a threat to Rob, but not like focus him.
Dangerous, but not deadly.
Yeah. It's definitely a skillful art. It's hard. It's very hard. Now just imagine.
Nice. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, now imagine that with the Hyman Seer fight.
Oh my god, forget that. I don't know how you do shit like that. And that is the reason why I can never be a forever DM.
And that's why I'm stuck being a forever DM, because I'm the one that can.
Yeah.
I'm gonna chalk it up to my ADHD.
Yeah, so it's one other thing I wanted to, like, I thought I really wanted to do was be able to do the because we don't ever really see anybody flipping the bag of holding inside out in our games. We all know it's a thing, but nobody's ever really done it. So I was like, I wanted him to, like, I wanted you guys to be able to chase him and get close to him and then have that happen so he could make a break for it and have you guys be on the hunt. So I was like, I need to come up with a way to do that. And I was like, oh my god, he's totally gonna have magic items and like a ton of shit.
Absolutely. He would.
So I was like, how perfect. I'm gonna use that.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. I was like, the second you said bag of holding, I was like, oh no, what's gonna happen? Like, I knew something was coming. Like, that's one of the downsides about being a forever DM, is like on the other side, like, I see things coming.
Yeah.
But very clearly, not everything I see coming.
you can see the bag of holding coming, but not the Grinch.
Yeah, not the fucking Grinch. Exactly. C'est la vie.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think if I had any other questions, because I know we did kind of rush out of there just because it got so late.
So there was all the traps. And all the signs.
Okay, seriously, Sam, a broom closet full of very sharp things? Seriously?
It said do not enter on it.
Well, I don't know why. I had Scooby-Doo on the brain. I think it's literally because someone, I think it was Kyle or I did, like, we mentioned, like, whenever Derbzar talks, where he reminds me of
Scooby-Doo.
Like,
yes.
And I was just like that meme from the old classic Scooby-Doo. Danger. Do not enter. Like, Scoob, I'm dying to know what's inside.
Yeah. I was like, if I put do not enter on this, there is no way in hell they are going to walk by it and not open it. Because I was like, factory rejects, observation room, like, they might completely walk right by these and not give a shit. If I put do not enter on a door, they are 100% going to open that door. That's, absolutely, like saying, don't press that big red button. What are you going to do? You're going to push the big red button.
Absolutely. So, just to see what happens.
Yeah. So I was like, I got to do that. And like, literally it was just a closet full of swords. And the whole thing about Rob having, finding a plus one sword was totally off the cuff. I'm like, well, I'll give it to him. Like he had a good idea taking some of the swords and shit off there. So.
Hey, I a lot of the stuff that I come up with is off the cuff. So I totally get it.
Yeah. Well, it's nice because like I feel way more my knowledge on the D&D like items and whatnot are way more vast than they were last time I DM'd.
Yeah.
So it helps that I'm able to do that now more so than I was before.
You know what's funny? I don't even think Rob used that plus one sword once.
He just pinned me down. That was it.
Well, that was me. Because I know that was like what Rob's character that's was what designed he done. For. And I was like, that's probably what Rob would have done. Like knowing him.
And when I made this zip line, when I put the zip line in, I go, I can't, if I put a zip line in, I know 100% that Peter is going to get that and he's going to use it. But he will stand on a chair and zip line down 3 feet just to use the zip line.
Oh, absolutely.
So I was like, okay, so now I got to find a way to make him be able to use the zip line. Literally, I had the zip line and then made the location of how to get down just so he could use the zip line.
Did you also have like lair actions and things for the Grinch, but decided not to use them because of time?
I was going to. So originally I was going to use layer actions and do legendary actions for the Grinch. But then that's when, so when I was like finalizing it and looking over everything, Kyle told me he wasn't going to be able to make it. So I was like, it's already going to be kind of tough with like the CR level. And so then I just decided to add a secondary Hellhound.
Gotcha.
And that Hellhound, I lowered his health by half. So,
you know, sometimes just as somebody who modifies stuff, lowering an AC can do more than lowering a health.
Oh yeah. Well, so that Hellhound, you guys took out super fast. I mean, its AC was already only 15. And it had 45 health points. So I think I lowered it to like 22, and then like somebody knocked it to 22 within like the second hit. And I was like, oh, yep, that one's gone. So, I'm just going to do that because it's going to be, I was already nervous on time. And I'm like, if I start whipping out layer actions and stuff like that, I was like, this is going to take way too long. So, but I know it would have been so perfect having the Grinch's lair and having layer actions. I was
like
biting my tongue so hard to put that in, but I couldn't.
It would have been hilarious to like he knows all the ins and outs. Like he could like dive into the trash and like come up somebody else, like a teleport.
Like Among Us.
Yeah. Like a vent. He could like pull a lever and like floors could come out, or like another fire breathing head could come out and just like blow fire.
Mm-hmm.
Like that would be really cool.
Yeah, I know. I was contemplating stuff like that, and
but time.
Like, and I said, I was just like time, and because I'm like I the last two times I did DMing stuff for you guys, I severely underestimated the amount of time it takes to get on the road.
Yes,
and yes. I was so with this, I was like, all right, I'm just gonna have him be at the town. The mayor's going to get stolen. They're going to chase the Grinch, and they're going to go after him.
What does Rob do?
I did not. They want to go. They want to take a break and go to a tavern and have a drink and role play. Pete wants to sell some kindling to the local townsfolk. I'm like, guys, you're killing me here. Let's keep it moving.
I don't know. I feel like the problem.
I know that's the fun part in it.
Yeah.
But. And if we weren't playing a one shot, I would have been like, who the hell cares?
Right. But because it's a one shot.
Yeah. I was like, hey, we got to get this done with today. Because I knew Amber wasn't going to be able to just have mom and dad come over and watch the kids again for the next week.
No, I get it. Exactly. It would have been difficult. But that's one nice thing about running a long game is like, I can prepare, like over prepare. And be set for like the next two sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm already thinking about like the consortium, you guys like going and like, I'm already thinking about the trial at this point. Like I have something happening at the trial.
Wait, what trial?
The trial against, you know, how Melkor decided to talk to Michael Davenport in Tullamore.
Oh yeah. And okay. Then and say that the Emperor's back and trying to like start a war against them.
Oh yeah. I already got plans. I know what's gonna happen there.
I thought you meant like Phantasmo getting arrested. I'm like, did you just tell me something that I shouldn't know?
Oh no. I forgot about that. I actually, before I come back DMing, I have to refresh myself on what the hell happened last time, because it's been like a solid almost,
yeah,
like 2.5-3 months.
We teleported to wherever Finn is from.
Storm's Hold. To the
Frosty Tips. My brother was arrested. With me.
Yes.
Wait, who got arrested?
Finn nearly got arrested.
Oh, he nearly did. Yeah, I thought you said somebody did. And then we were escorted to the local inn tavern by the town guard. Told us not to leave. And then I think we talked about an underground sewer system exists.
And then there's the big reveal of how does Anthony get out of this contract with Lochny.
He learns that Simon was grooming him, essentially.
Yeah, and when you groom a successor, you die.
Yes.
And the more powerful the successor becomes, you die. So
how far away from death is Simon?
I don't know.
Is he Death's Door type stuff?
No, not Death's Door. Okay. He's definitely looked like he's aged, but not Death's Door. But who knows?
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yes, it will. And we'll pick that up when I get back.
Yeah. But,
for now, I think I'm all set on questions. Was there anything else you wanted to go over before we end for today?
When I had the other quotes where it said, serves them right, those Yuletide loving, sickly sweet, nog sucking cheermongers, I really don't like them. Mm-mm. No, I don't. Followed by a loud crunch that didn't ring any bells.
No, it didn't.
Like, if were you like, said, where the hell did he think, like, where did this come from?
I was like, wow, Sam's really bringing out the vocabulary today. Like, completely went over my head. And
hilarious.
But if you would have said something like 4 o'clock, dinner with myself, I can't cancel that again. Like 5 o'clock,
jazzercise, 6:30, stare at the wall and slip slowly into madness,
wallow in self pity. Like if you would have said like that line, like I would have gotten it instantly because that's all over my TikTok. But yeah, the other one, no, it didn't even click. And then everything like. Oh my god, everything like went off. Like I felt like I was a fucking light bulb store and everything just went out at once. And I was like, oh my god, like I'm such an idiot.
It was funny. So when later on we talked about it. So Gia, my daughter, for anyone listening, she's been asking to watch The Grinch recently. The Jim Carrey one, which I can't believe. Like I feel like that'd be scary as hell for a little kid. But we put it on and we were watching it, and then the scene came on where he goes, "How dare you enter the Grinch's lair? The impudence, the audacity, the unmitigated gall." and that went off, and Amber started laughing so hard, and she looks at me and goes, "Did you practice that at all?" I go, "No, I have seen this is my favorite Christmas movie. I've seen this so many times that I could probably recite that in my sleep."
You want to know what the funniest thing is in the world for that scene, that quote? You know how he like gets slowly and slowly more unintelligible speech?
Yes.
I had no idea what the unmitigated gall actually was. I heard, like, that's all I heard.
Yeah.
And I thought it was the funniest thing in the world. But now that I'm older, I'm like, wow, he actually said that. Like, that makes so much more sense.
Oh my god, I watched it. Yeah, when we watched it again, there were so many things that I was like, oh, that's what he said, or oh, that's what he meant by that. And the hell, or even just like the whole joke about like jury duty, junk mail, pink slip, eviction notice, chain letter. I'm like, oh my God, that's hilarious.
That is that, like, again, the jury duty thing. Like, as a kid, I had no idea what the fuck he was talking about. I thought he was just saying like one word, like, and I just didn't understand what he was saying. It didn't click that it was actually like jury duty. It was just like, the fuck is he saying? Because I didn't know. I was a little kid, but like, didn't that movie come out in like 2005 or something?
I honestly think it was like 2002 or something.
Yeah, I was 7.
Yeah, it was crazy.
We
got it on VHS when it came out.
Oh. And
we wore the shit out of that movie. It's honestly aged surprisingly well. Like,
yeah,
all
right?
Things considered, I don't think I'll ever have a year where I don't watch that movie. But the new Grinch, the cartoon with Benedict Cumberbatch, is actually super good too.
I think I watched that when Gia was first born, like that first Christmas with you guys.
Yeah, it was super good. I liked it a lot.
I know. But,
and then what threw me off too is like, to talk about stuff you couldn't tell what he said, was I had to look up the script for when he goes, shit, where the hell is it? The first thing that I said, oh, the Yuletide loving, sickly, sweet cheermongers or whatever. I was like, what on earth is actually being said?
Yeah, right.
I had to look it up and be like, oh, that's what he's been saying this whole entire time.
Oh, man. Gotta love Jim Carrey and his movies.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good place to stop. What do you think, Sam?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks for sticking around for the backfeed. We'll catch you next time where I am probably not DMing. And I think Anthony will return as the DM for Neverland. But stay tuned for updates because I am excited to get back.
I do have one more thing before you guys go. I noticed, I don't know if you did something, Andy, on it with the editing, but I noticed on Anchor when we posted it, it says that people can put comments on this episode and tell us what they thought or leave questions or whatever on this episode.
I think it has. I think it's on Spotify or something, isn't it? Like,
yeah, so I think it's through Spotify because Anchor is owned by Spotify. So if you guys want to go on there and leave us a comment, just tell us what you thought about it, if you liked it or hated it.
If you want to see Sam DM more.
Oh God.
Or, you know, like, yeah, anytime.
Or if you just really miss Andy and want him back as DMing.
Yeah, I don't think this is me.
We do.
All right. And don't forget to check out, our links, our Discord, our Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. And
don't forget to like and share and subscribe.
That too. Good night, everybody.
Later.